So today we're starting Siman Sadi Beis. So this is exciting stuff. And again, over here, as with everything we've been doing, you really get to see why it's kedai to do Tarovis before Basar B'Chalav, because a lot of what we're going to do, with the background is very, very important. Sif Aleph is really very basic. Sif Beis is also a pretty basic case. It just gets a little more complicated to follow along, of meat falling into milk or vice versa. Meat falling into milk, milk falling into meat. The Torah, but a little bit of background of the Chazara of what we learned in Tarovis for just a minute or two. Torah tells us Achrei Rav Nahatos. Achrei Rav Nahatos certainly tells us when you have a Beis Din, you follow the majority opinion of the Beis Din. However, we also learn from there that when it comes to Tarovas, that you follow the Rov. And if something Usher falls into a greater amount of something Mutter, then it potentially might be Batel Berov or Beshishim, depending, as we learned. And Rashi in Maseches Beis points out that that's from Achrei Rav Nahatos. When Rashi comments on Davar Sheyesh Matir, and he writes, V'afogav Debi Dorais, so chad betray batul, even though in the Dorais level chad betray batul, how do I know? Tichsiv Achrei Rav Nahatos. This is Achrei Rav Nahatos. So you see that there's such a din of rov that we derive on a Dorais level. So the Gemara Menachos Chaf Beis Amid Beis quotes a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan with which we are very familiar. The Gemara tells us Tanan Hasan Dam Shenis Ariv B'Mayim. If you have dam and mayim, that mixed together, im yesh maris dam kosher. If it looks like dam, it's kosher. Nisarev biyayin, roon also ki iluhu mayim. If dam mixes with yayin, you look at the yayin as if it were mayim and figure out if it would be a different color. Nisarev bidam behema o bidam chaya, roon also ki iluhu mayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here's the key, ein dam mevatel dam. That dam can never be mevatel other dam. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shem Mikra Echad Darshu. V'lokach midam ha-par midam ha-sayir. Hadabar yadua, shadam ha-shal-par merubah midam ha-shal-sayir. Rabbanan Tzavri mikan lo'olin shein mevatlan ze'ezeb. Rabbi Tzavri mikan lamin b'mino shein ha-batal. Rabbi Yudha derives from the fact that the Torah refers to the dam ha-par and dam ha-sayir, even though dam ha-par is so much, quantitatively, so much more than dam ha-sayir, and it's still goreis the dam of the sayir, that min b'mino zein ha-batal. That even though you have way, way more volume of the dam ha-par, min b'mino is a bottle. The Rabbanan say, nah, it's a particular halacha that relates to karbanos, nothing to do with min b'mino. Ain't no bottles. Only with regard to korbanos that you say one liquid cannot be mevatel the other, but by yisur v'hetu the yisur can be batel even if it's min b'mino. And we saw the Ran in Nedarim and Beis that explains, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino ain't no bottle because you look at the physical mixture of the food, because since both foods are the same, it's not going to be batel because you don't have that conflict of one outweighing the other. Each one just enhances the other. We paskin min bimino is batel berov midaraisa, and midrabanan we require shishim. We don't paskin min bimino eno batel. So that's background point number one that we're very familiar with, right? That min bimino is batel according to us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino zeinu batel. Background point number two that we're also familiar with is ti'imas kfeila, that Sfardim and Ashkenazim have a fundamental disagreement about whether we could rely on ti'imas kfeila. It's based on the Gemara Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin, Omer Rabbanan b'tayma, va'omer Rabbanan b'kfeila, va'omer Rabbanan b'shishin. Sometimes you look for nesinas tam, sometimes you ask a kfeila, you can't taste it yourself, and sometimes you just have to measure volume, you have to measure shishin. Min b'mino de'ateira b'tayma. If it's min b'mino de'ateira, you have something that you took a neder that you're not going to eat whatever. You're not going to drink apple juice, and the apple juice is mixed with grape juice. So can you taste the apple juice and the grape juice? So have someone who didn't take a neder taste it. So that's going to be b'tayma, right? That's min b'mino b'tayma. The isura b'kfeila. If there's nevela that gets mixed in with your challah. So you can't taste it, but a guy have a kfeila taste it. Min b'mino deleka lemeka mataima inami min b'sheino mino diyisura deleka kfeila. But if there's either a case of min b'mino or there's no kfeila available, so then shishim. Then we follow shishim. So the shach over here in Sivkan Aleph says, yeah. And what's a who would taste it for you? Dafka kfeila o masiach lefitumo, which is really paraphrasing what he writes in Siman Sadi Ches, which was that v'tzarech shelo yeda shesomchen alav. that he has to know that he has to not know that you're relying on him. Right, we saw in Siman Tzadiches that discussion that maybe a kfeila can know that you're relying on him because a kfeila is going to be mafsirum naso otherwise, but a regular guy can only be mesiach l'fitumo. Remember that Rabbi Kiv Eger, that was an interesting Rabbi Kiv Eger in Siman Tzadiches, where Rabbi Kiv Eger says that the reason Ashkenazim don't really, he tries to explain the minhag of the Ramo, why is it that Ashkenazim don't rely on the kfeila? He says because you need both. We're not sure which is correct, whether you need Mesiach Lefitumo or whether you need a kfeila, someone who's a pro. But by definition, one is not the other. Meaning, if someone is a kfeila, then he's not Mesiach Lefitumo. He knows you're relying on him because he's chash of a taster. So Rabbi Kiv Eger says, and that because we're not sure which is the ideal, you can never rely on anybody because they're either one or the other, they're never both. And we had that kasha, so just use two. We get two people, one guy is a kfeila and one guy is a mesiach fitumo. But anyway, the bottom line is, again, point number two of introduction, just to chazer over, that Sfardim rely on a kfeila, Ashkenazim do not rely on a kfeila, and a kfeila is helpful in situations where you have a tarovus of min b'she'eino mino, where there's iser. So you can't have another Jew that will taste it for you. The Shach in Siman Tzadiches also pointed out that according to the Mechaber, a kfeila works regardless of whether they're shishim or not. Meaning, it could be less than shishim, but if the kfeila can't taste it, the food is fine. There could be more than shishim. If he can taste it, you still have a problem. And the Gra in Tzadiches Zayin says that the Mechaber would agree that if you have shishim, you don't have to go out of your way to find the kfeila. Meaning, if you have shishim, so then you could just rely on shishim as well, because after all, the Gemara said that if you can't find a kfeila, then it's the halacha is b'shishim. So shishim is something that rove of the time, or an overwhelming majority of the time, shishim would actually be mevat al tam. So you can assume that it did, even though if it didn't, it would be a problem. Now, with that background, let's take a look at the Gemara that's relevant to Sifal. The truth is, the biggest thing about Sifal is just to figure out if it's relevant at all to us. Meaning, for Sfardim, it might be relevant. Is there going to be any relevance to Ashkenazim in Sifal? We'll see what we mean by that in a second. The Gemara in Chulin tells us as follows. Kazayis basar shenafal l'toch yora shel chalav. You have a kazayis basar that falls into a big pot of milk. So amarav basar asur v'chalav mutter. The basar is going to be asur, the chalav is going to be mutter. Seems reasonable enough. The basar is going to be asur because it has tam chalav that it absorbed, and it certainly is not able to be mevatel the chalav because it fell into a big vat of chalav. The chalav is going to be mutter because you imagine that the basar is less than 1/60th the size of the chalav, so the chalav is going to be mutter. It seems reasonable, but the Gemara questions, and the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Chalav am I mutter? Chalav nevelahu. Once the chalav inside the meat becomes basar chalav, meaning the meat absorbs chalav, and now that meat and milk that's in that chaticha of meat is now all basar b'chalav. And as the cooking continues, that milk that gets absorbed in the meat is now niflat from the meat back into the rest of the chalav. So then it should answer the whole thing. It should answer the whole rest of the chalav, because now you can have a tarovus of min b'mino. And min b'mino is eino batel, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara answers, no. If it was still boiling and you took the meat out before it rested, before it was nachmir tichaso, before it stopped boiling, then the meat would only absorb, it would not be polite, so don't worry. Whatever milk came into the meat ain't a chinami, that's basar b'chalav. But it's not sending any milk back out if you pull the meat out in time. So as long as you pull the meat out in time, none of that milk is going to go back out into the pot. So basically, if basar falls into a pot of chalav, the chalav will be mutter if there's no tam of the basar in it. The chalav entered the basar, has become basar b'chalav, and that would mean that the chalav gets expelled back into the rest of the chalav, which wouldn't become batel, no matter how much. No, that's not a problem, because we're assuming that you pull it out in time. Now, that whole Gemara, the question, the answer, it assumes like Rabbi Yehuda. It assumes min b'mino, eino batel, which would mean that l'chora, the Gemara's kasha is not a kasha for us, right? If you're not going to ask, how could the... How could it be kosher if the chalav is going right back out in into the rest of the chalav? The chalav that was in the basar is going right back into the rest of the chalav. How could it be kosher? What do you mean how could it be kosher? It's batal b'shishim. It's fine. So it's following Rabbi Yehuda that even though the time of the basar in the chalav becomes batal, the chalav asr that was nivel in the basar goes back into the chalav. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would asr all the chalav as well. The Mishnah, however, does not indicate that all of the chalav would become asr when the basar falls into the chalav, and that's the meaning. That's the challenge the Gemara is really posing. So the Gemara took a while to get to that answer. I mean, the first answer the Gemara gave was maybe the isr basar b'chalav is only a din in the basar; it's not a din in the chalav. Right, maybe it's only din in the gedi, not a din in the chalav. That would be a startling chiddush, right? To say that the chalav doesn't take on the status of basar b'chalav. But then ultimately, it settles on the answer that it depends on whether it was nach meriti chasa. That's the key that we're looking for. Was it nach meriti chasa? So Megill Sefer points out over here that the Chazanish has a fundamental question. Tosos in Chulin and Daf Kuf Amud Aleph explains why a drop of milk on a chaticha should be measured b'shishim. Let's say you have a hot chaticha on the grill, and you drop milk onto the hot chaticha. So what do? You measure shishim, because you assume that the drop of milk is going to spread throughout the chaticha. Immediately? Meaning it's got a... First it hits a particular spot. So at that moment that it hit that particular spot, it's going to take like a second to spread. A chalent, you have a chalent, drop of milk on the chalent, hit a piece of meat in, submerged, in the chalent. Yes, it will spread, but it hasn't spread yet. It takes a second or two for it to spread. So Tosa says, why don't you say that the spot that it hits becomes nevela before the tipa is ever nispashate? And then you shouldn't be able to measure b'shishim of the tipa, because wherever it hit has already become nevela. So that's Tosa's kasha. So Taisa says that since Sof Hatipa Lispashet, we only assess it after it has traveled to wherever it was destined to go. That since that's the way, that's the Gilgul Advarim, that it was going to be Nispashet anyway, so that's the way we look at it. So Chazanish asks that we should say the same thing about meat falling into milk. Instead of saying that the milk that gets absorbed in the meat becomes Nevela, and then goes out and forbids the rest of the milk, we should say that it never became nevela in the first place, because it's also the ispashet. Meaning whatever milk went into the meat and then came back out was always destined to come back out. So if it was also the ispashet, we don't look at it like it was in the meat. We pretend it was never in the meat. We always look at what the end game is. So why is the Gemara's kasha even a kasha? The Gemara said, min b'mino eino batel, and that milk is already basar b'chalav, and now it's going to go asr everything else. So the Chazanish answers that the kivan she'ein tam habasar omed l'spashet calls man she'achalav muvlo betoch habasar elo li'achar she'yatza lo mikri omed l'spashet davim chusar maisa. He says that if in order for something to be nispashet, something else has to happen, then that's not called omed l'spashet. If just leaving it there would cause it to be nispashet, so then that's one thing. Then you say omed l'spashet. But over here, the tam habasar is not omid l'spashet as long as it has the chalav that's muvla b'toch habasar. It's only when it goes out of it that's omid l'spashet. So then we don't say omid l'spashet. So that's just in terms of why it is that we're even looking at it in that way. But that's the way we look at it, that the chalav that was in the meat is asr. Now that it's asr, it could affect everything else that's outside of the meat. And that's why the only way to avoid that effect is to pull it out before it's omed miriti chasa. Now, it should be noted that even though the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, that when Rav says this statement in the Gemara, he says kezayis basar, clearly that's lav davka, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be a kezayis. If it's less than a kezayis, fell in halacha would be the same. The only difference is a kezayis, you'd be chayv malchus, right, for a kezayis. That's only nafka mina shir has. Yeah, and the Gemara and the Shulchan clearly assume also that the basar is for sure going to be asr. That's just another quick hour before we get into it. The for sure the basar is going to be asr. The question is about the chalav, right? That was the whole discussion. Basar fell to the basar is for sure going to be asr. Asks the Mati Yonason over here, why for sure? Why not just give the meat to a kfela to taste also? See if he could taste the milk and the meat. Maybe he won't be able to taste the milk and the meat, and then it will be mutter. So how do you know for sure it's going to be awesome? So the Pischi Tshuva and Simon Kofei, Sivkan Ches, quotes a Chamudei Daniel, that it would actually be mutter in such a case. It's just unlikely. Meaning, in a chinami. If it was only in for a second, it could be it didn't really absorb that much milk. It could be it was in for a second, you rinse it off, and you won't have any time of chalav into it. And it would actually be mutter. Prima Gadma says, come on, you have to assume he's lying. You know, a piece of meat fell into milk. There's no way. You got to say, you can't trust a kfeil in that case. The Chamudei Daniel is helpful to just keep in mind, because what he essentially tells us is that time matters. And that if something was only 1 second, it was just 1 second. So in halacha, generally we say, we don't care. If it's 1 second, then it came to a boil. So then it came to a boil. We'll see how it might make a difference in our sugi also. But normally, 1 second, but it was hot. So if it was hot, it was hot. But the Chamudei Daniel entertains the possibility that 1 second is not enough time. It was just, not enough time for a real transference of time. So, you know, if you need a tenth sniff on something that you need to be makel about, so the Chamudei Daniel is useful.
Would that apply to Shari Sirim also, or just Basra Chavit, like meat special, which might need, like, the food stack should be cooked?
No, I think it's about Blia. I think it's about Blios. Now, the question is, at what point does the Chalav start going back out? I mean, the Gemara said, oh, you chop it quickly before the chalav goes back out into the other chalav, and that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to worry about min b'mino in a batel. When does that happen? So, the maskana sa Gemara is kadam v'silka, but kadam v'silka, when exactly? When is it not going to be polite? So there are three basic shitos in Rishonim over here, and we'll see which one we're passing. Rashi writes, Dimashibaleya enopolit, shekolzman sheinu nach miritichosav enopolit. So Rashi is pretty clear. When does it start being polite? When it stops boiling. It's interesting. The case is not that you put something into a pot and then turn on the fire. Right? Then it's going to be baleya and polite. It's already boiling milk. Meat goes into the already boiling milk. We then assume that meat is going to absorb, but not going to be polite. And Rashi says, and when will it be polite? Only when it's nach mirti chosav. As long as the food is still boiling, it's not going to be polite.
Rashi, how does the color work?
Oh, we'll get there. So Tosfos in Kuf Chesam Beit, Zimra Masel Shnafal, says that Rashi has to be incorrect. He says, it's like one of these hachush meid. You just look at what happens. Tosa says, Dover hanirele inayimu depolit. Dikshenos in Yerek Bikadeira Rotachas Mishtane Maris Hamayim in a Yerek. You ever make a vegetable soup? I haven't. But let's say I've heard people have. So if you take boiling water and you put vegetables in, so how does it work? You put the vegetables in so that the vegetables could absorb all the water, then you turn off the fire, let it be nachmir tichosav, and then turn it back on, so now the vegetable time can go back out into the water? That's not how it works. Right away, the vegetables and the water are interacting with each other, and there are juices from the vegetables, and that's why the soup turns colors. It doesn't stay clear water. So it tells us, just make a vegetable soup, and you'll see. You can see the fat of the meat going out into the rotav. You make a chalut and you put some fatty piece of meat in there, and you see that the fat is going in. So you can see it beinayim. So what in the world is Rashi talking about? It only absorbs, doesn't go out. So Tosfos quotes Rashbam and Rabbeinu Shmaya, but everyone likes to quote from the Rashbam. Rashbam argues. Rashbam writes, "The hadukamer miflat opalit, hainu ad shei savaya milivloa, aval yachar shesava choser opalit." Ooh, so Rashbam says, "No. It's not about when it stops boiling. It's about whenever it's finished absorbing. As soon as it's finished absorbing, so then it boomerangs back around, and the time starts." Coming out of the, so you put a vegetable, you put a carrot in a soup, so for the first little while all the carrot is doing is absorbing the water, but then when it's finished absorbing and it's saturated, then it starts giving out time to the rest of the soup. And when does that happen? So that's part of the problem, is we have no idea. Right? When it happens? Whenever it's done. Whenever it's finished absorbing. So Tosfos points out, according to the Rashbam, speaking to Jed's point, Osan Kelim Makaros HaAsuros Kishemagim Osan B'toch Yor Gedola Umanich Nosan Mibifnim Kashamayim Rotchin Hayamatzuch Rabbeinu Shmuel Anicham Sha'a Gedola Ad Kidei She'elam Shulz L'gmar B'li Avlach Sevelif L'dachar Kach. He says it would turn out that when you kasher in kelim, according to the Rashbam, you don't just dip it in, wait for it to come to a boil 1 second and pull it back out. Because it needs time for the kli to become fully saturated with the water that's going in so that it could turn around and start going back out again. But it's not going to go out right away. That's so sara. To kasher, so you're putting in boiling water, you would need to keep the kli in the water long enough for that blia to finish and then the plita to happen from the kli back into the water. So Tosfos points out this is very problematic. This shita Rashbam. So again, Rashi said that when does it change? It changes when nachmir tichasa stops boiling. Rashbam says no, there's no nachmir tichasa. It's whenever it's finished absorbing. So Tosfos points out the davar temahu demi baki leida shirzeh. When? When does that happen? Who's going to know that? He doesn't, you know, there's no estimate or anything or way of telling when it happens. Also, it could be that if you kasher a trefa kli, as Tosfos points out, it's not going to work. You can ruin the kasher. So, another problem with the Rashbam is pointed out by the Maram Shif on Tosos. Maram Shif says, why would Rav have to speak of meat falling into a large vat of milk? If it's not polate at all anyway, right? If the meat's not polate, it could be way less than shishim. Meat falls in, an ounce of meat falls into 5 ounces of milk. The milk is kosher anyhow. Because it can't, according to Rashbam, it can't be polite. If the whole case is going to be kadam v'salik, you took it out before it starts turning around and being polite. So then, 1 ounce of meat falls into 5 ounces of milk, and the milk is going to be kosher. Because the meat only absorbed; it didn't have time to be polite yet. That's the kasha Maram Shif asks. It's a strong kasha. The Bikiveger in the Tshuva Madura Kamen Sim Pedal says that the fat on the surface of the meat certainly gets mixed in with the milk immediately. It's only basar kachush that would not be polite until it's finished being balea. Okay, that's an akim to that. Right? And then he's saying that ain't a chinami. If you were to take basar kachush that doesn't have fat on it, you were to take a very lean piece of meat and drop it in 5 ounces of milk and you pull it out before it has a chance to be polite, the milk is kosher.
I mean, but the
polite
issue is just on the
minbamino
milk. Meaning the meat.
Oh, so it doesn't say that. Rashbam didn't say that. I mean, that's what the Gemara was asking about. But says Maram Shif, Misvara, what he's saying is that the meat has the ability to be to absorb and not to be polite. So that is solved in the following way. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that, and this is what you're thinking, that there's a difference between the tam of the chaticha itself and the tam that's balua ba from before. I'm sorry. The tam of the chaticha and whatever's balua in the chaticha from before you ever put in the tarovas, that's on the one hand, and the tam that's first being introduced in this cooking on the other hand. So that's not exactly what Rashbam said, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That when you have a case where there are already blios in this meat, that like there always are, there's meat in this meat. Or even if there are other blios that were there from before this cooking, so that's going to be polite right away as soon as you put it into a hot pot of water or something. But the tam that it's first picking up now, that's where you have the possibility of kadam asalik. That's where you have the possibility of pulling it out. The previous tam will be polit miyad. Whatever's coming in now won't exit until there's tanuach mir tichasa. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Sadi Beis says that if you're kadam, right, what does it say? Siman Sadi Beis Sifal. Because I suppose to shnuffle to Yorah Shel Chalav Roteach. Toyim of Chalav Makadera im Omer Shiesh Batam Basar Asura v'im Lav Muteres. If there's Tam Basar in the Kadera, then it's going to be Asur. What do you mean Tam Basar? Yeah, because Tam Basar could get into the Kadera. Otherwise, mutter. I feel pachs mishishim. Vosachaticha asura. Ba'med varamamurim kashad kadam vahotzi chaticha kodem shetiflot chalav shebala. Right, he's very clear. Shulchan Aruch says you took it out before it had the ability to be polate the chalav that it was boleya, not before it's polate anything. Dainu kodem shetinuachay yaramiriticha. Avon lo hispik lasalka shetucha liflo the chalav shebala. Av bishatam ovikchav main botam klal asayon kein yesh b'shishim. But if the milk is coming back out already into the rest, so then min b'mino, we paskin is not b'mashu, we paskin is b'shishim. So Shulchan Aruch says is going to be b'shishim. So that's what those quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. That's what we paskin Shulchan Aruch. You cut the basilek before it's nachmir tichasa, a kfeila could taste the milk for any meat flavor, but there's no concern of milk flavor that's going back out. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Malchus Asuros, the Rambam writes that im kadam vahotzi as a chaticha, you take out the chaticha before it was polite, the milk, before the milk was niflat from the chaticha, so kfeila could taste the milk for meat flavor. So he clearly assumes the milk would not have gone in and back out. The Magen Mishnah says why, because the Rambam is assuming like the Rashba that naicha means that it's finished being boleya. Because if it really meant nach mir tichasa, he should have mentioned such an easily discernible time of nach mir tichasa. The Ram doesn't say nach mir tichasa, and therefore says Magen Mishnah, the Ram is really saying like the Rashba. But the Prima Gadim points out, not really Rashba, he's saying like Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning the fact that he requires a timas kfeila means that he doesn't hold like the Rashbam. Because according to the Rashbam, nothing should have been niflet from the meat at all. You shouldn't even need to be towing the chalav. So he holds more like the Rabbeinu Tam. In the definition of naicha, that what does it mean nachmir tichasa? Okay, that's like the Rashbam said, that it's finished being boleya. But he holds like Rabbeinu Tam that even before nachmir tichasa, it's already polate the earlier Tam. So essentially, he's holding like the Rabbeinu Tam. So those are the three basic shitos, and we paskin that, and it's very mistaken. The Rashbam is extraordinarily difficult if that's really what the Rashbam meant. Like you have to believe, like you were saying, that the Rashbam has to mean like Rabbeinu Tam. It's very hard to understand. What does that mean? The Rashbam really means that it's not polite any of itself until it's saturated. Where is that in the rest of your day? That if two things come in contact with each other, only liquid will get into solid. Solid won't get into a liquid.
According to Rabbi Tam, when we say that it will be mavliya, something that's not in it, and it will be pulit, something that's part of it already. So how does Rabbi Tam read the kinayach part of the Gemara? Meaning when will the stuff that was bulea into it?
So I don't remember. Does anyone have the Gemara? Tosos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. I seem to recall that yes, that he does say like the Rashbam, which is what the Rambam certainly holds. But I could be wrong. Anyone know? Something else? Yeah. Right. I mean, what does the Shulchan Aruch say over here? Shishim. As long as you have shishim, it's fine, right? If it was nachmir sichasa, then shishim would be good because min b'mino is b'shishim. Shishim, all the milk might have filtered through that piece of meat, right? It all might have come in, back out, more come in, back out, and each milk that goes, every molecule of milk that goes through that meat is becoming basar b'chalav. Right? It's a strong kasha that Nosi Kelim discussed. We'll get to it in a second. Now, when you see the Gemara, the impression you get is that it's very much not lemaisa, because kadam v'silko shouldn't matter because min b'mino is batal b'shishim anyway. And the whole sugi was only asking kasha within sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the min v'mino zayin abatam. However, if you hold that the metzius that it's describing is true, so you see why this is halacha l'maisa. Meaning, if you hold that every other part of the Gemara is correct, that there is milk that is being nivla, if kadam v'silko, that milk will not go back out, right? And therefore, it's not going to, you're not even going to have to be towing. You'll only have to be towing for shishim. You're not going to have to measure for shishim the rest of it. You'll only have to be towing for basa, or measure for the basa. So then you understand that even if min b'mino zeinu batel, okay, but I still, as long as I'm viewing it this way, as long as there's no tam basar in it, it's going to be good. So that's important halacha l'maisa, according to the Mechaber. Meaning, there are two potential problems with this vat of milk. Number one is it might have tam basar in it. Number two is it might have tam chalav that was nivla in basar in it. Right? So, as far as the tam basar, so what do? Have a guy, a kvela. You have a non-Jew taste it, and when he tastes it, he'll tell you whether there's tam basar in it. What do you do about the fact that there might be chalav in it? Okay, so if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, nothing, you're finished. But if you don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so shishim. A kvela is not going to do good, but shishim will be good enough. So that only works, obviously, if you assume like the Mechaber, if you assume that kfela works. But the Rama paskins the Maisa that we never rely on a kfela, so it would turn out that the whole sugi is against shalok halacha. Meaning, once you accept that you're always going to need shishim, then the sugi of kadam silko is irrelevant, because it doesn't matter whether you pulled it out before or you pulled it out after. The second, it doesn't matter if you pulled it out before or you pulled it out after, because you're always going to need shishim. Right? You need shishim because if you pull it out before, you have the basar that's going in anyway. You need shishim klape the basar. And the kfela is not going to help you, because we don't do kfela. So you need shishim. If you pull it out afterwards, I have to worry about the chalav, but that takes care of itself with the shishim also. So the same shishim that helps if you pull it out after is going to, if you pull it out before, is going to help if you pull it out after. So it turns out that the sugya for Ashkenazim is shalok halacha.
Well, there's still an argument for Ashkenazim. If it's nishma, then you have suffix shishim. So if it's
kodesh, if it's kodesh, like,
so then you could be
min
b'sheinu. Sorry, the reverse.
If it's a suffix shishim, so when you hold min b'sheinu minos daraisa, so if your issue is a min b'sheinu mino issue, then you have suffix daraisa l'chumra. But whenever you have the min b'mino issue, you also have the min b'sheinu mino issue. Right? Meaning that if it's kadam asilek, you have only the min b'sheinu mino issue. Otherwise, you have both. The Prima Gadim and the Chavis Das ask why shishim should be enough. Was it Jed asked before? It keeps on filtering in and out. Milk keeps going in and out. So why is shishim going to be enough? So the Prima Gadim and the Chavis Das ask that kasha. So the Prima Gadim says, I mean, the way he phrases it, he says it pretty much bekitzer, but he says, yesh lach kor kama chakiros. You know, when he says chakiros, he just means kashas. He says, I got a bunch of problems over here. Let's be choshesh that bala upalat harbe pa'amim chalav, that the meat was balaya and polate chalav over and over and over again. Lo mahani shishim. Furthermore, al kalpanim shishim ve'echad mibayi. Right? When we think of that, why shishim ve'echad? 60 keneged the basar, but you also need 60 keneged the chalav that's coming out of the basar. So al kalpanim, you should need shishim ve'echad. Meaning, if one of these ounces of chalav is also treif, so then I should need shishim klapei that ounce, shishim of chalav klapei that ounce of chalav. So you should need shishim ve'echad. That's what Prima Gadim asks. So he writes, somewhat cryptically, he writes, Vateritz bazed min haTorah min b'mino beruba batel lo daikinan kulehai. What? Since min haTorah min b'mino's batel berov, and shishim is only din d'rabbanan, alright, shishim, 59, 58, you know. We're not going to be so careful about it. How could that be? I mean, you could throw out the whole Yeridaya. Lo dekinum kule hai. So it's possible that what he means is as follows. That why is it? I heard this from someone, I just don't remember where I heard it. Somewhere along the way I heard this. Maybe if someone finds it, you'll tell me. Why is it that min b'mino requires shishim? I mean, the rice is batul b'rov. Why do we require shishim? Atu min b'sheino mino. Right? It's exerim min b'mino, atu min b'sheino mino. The very chashash that liquid is going to keep coming in and out of the chaticha is only relevant to a min b'mino situation. You're not going to have a chaticha in a soup where multiple different types of liquid are going to be coming in and out. It's all the same soup, or milk in this case. So it's always going to be, this whole chashash that we're worried about of what's getting filtered through this meat, is always going to be min b'mino. Maybe what he means to say is that the gzeira of min b'mino, atu min b'she'eno mino, is not as strong of a gzeira when it's not even shayich to have min b'she'eno mino. Now, it's not perfect, because then it should just be batul b'rov. Right? Why do you need anything near shishim? They're saying maybe they were a little more makel in a situation where it's not even shayich.
At any moment when basar is being pulled into the challah and challah is being nibla into the basar, won't you continuously, even if you say it's a cycle, you'll continuously have shishim. They'll be constantly being mivat, they'll be isser, and then re-becoming asr, and then re-mivat, meaning you're always going to...
Eventually it's going to turn into...
Meaning if there's shishim at every moment, then the shishim will just...
But we're not going to say kama batal. We say it's nepach teser, and that's going to add up. Now, if you have a case of meat that falls into chalav, it doesn't happen so much in our kitchens. But in Siman Sadi Dalu, we talk about basar that falls into chalav, that we ask for the basar sometimes, because you assume that the chalav is nivel in it, but the chalav, if there's enough, if there's shishim, then it's going to be mutter. But not only when it comes to real basar and chalav, we also talk about this with kelim, with fleisha kelim, milicha kelim. So you use a kli basar to stir a pot of dairy food, and then the contents of the pot are going to be mutter if there's shishim opposite the basar. But the kli basar would become asr because you assume it's absorbed a lot of the tam chalav, meaning, you know, this idea of how you can have a mixture of two things, of basar and chalav, and one of them is going to be mutter, the other one is going to be asr. Because the ratio klape one of them is going to be overwhelming, and klape the other one, the ratio is not going to be overwhelming. So it doesn't happen so often with actual basar and chalav in our kitchens, because we very rarely have actual basar and chalav cooking together. But it very often happens in terms of cooking in kelim. Where you can have, I know that this kli only held X amount of basar, and now I heated up chalav in it, and there is shishim keneged that basar that was balua bedofnei kli. So the chalav that I heated up is going to be perfectly fine, but now the dofnei kli are saturated with chalav, and they were already saturated with basar, so the kli is going to be treif. Right? You can have cases like that. Those are very common cases. Where now you're going to have to kasher a kli, even though the food is going to be... And that confuses people sometimes. You know, someone will ask a shayla, heated up dinner and whatever, in this kind of pot, and whatever, and you say, you can eat your dinner, but you got to kasher the kli. Is it kosher or is it not kosher? But that discrepancy of ratios can happen in that direction. So that's Si'if Aleph. So again, Si'if Aleph as a practical matter for Ashkenazim is not really Nogeya. Because the whole Chiddush of Si'if Aleph, the whole Kunz of Si'if Aleph, is the idea of Kadam Vesilek. that there's a difference between kadam basilik versus leaving it until later. And at the end of the day, there is not really no difference between kadam basilik and leaving it until later. You're always going to need shishin. Yeah, because when you're talking about the liquid that's surrounding the chaticha being filtered through, what you're saying is that that same liquid keeps coming in, whatever liquid it's sitting in keeps coming in and out. So the whole kasha was, but more liquid is going to come in, and more is going to come out, more is going to come in, more is going to, but it's the same liquid that's coming in and out. How do you sit in two different types of liquid?
A mixture of two.
So it's all the same. I mean, it becomes one. Right, if you take your mushroom soup and make it cream of mushroom soup, so it's not that it's in milk and it's in mushroom soup. It's in mushroom soup. It's in cream of mushroom soup. So it's the same thing that's going in and out. So it's always going to end up being min
levina. What if the liquids don't mix?
What?
What if there are liquids that don't mix, like oil and water or something?
So maybe something like that. You have to come up with something like that. I don't know. Can't imagine a victim of someone, you know, cooking like that. Maybe. I don't know much about cooking. Okay. Best point of the day. Apparently it doesn't mean vegetable soup. I don't know when that was from. Don't think, wouldn't that only be true if this was the first time the kli was used? Meaning, he's talking about... Where are you, Doug? And you know how much blios of basar. Yeah, you know how much blios of basar there are. Yeah. Right. Saying that he's a small amount of flesh, then he's milchus. Yeah. Right. Meaning, if you have to assume that the whole kli is below the basar, so then the food's going to be treif anyway. Because, you know, ben yoma, ain't ben yoma, so there's what to talk about. But if you have to assume that the whole kli is below the basar, so it's going to be treif anyway, because you're not going to have shishim kenege the entirety of the kli. You can't make a kli that has shishim in the kli connected the entirety of the kli. It just doesn't the math doesn't work out. It has to be very 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 thin walls and a very wide kli. Okay, so that's sif aleph. Sif beis gets a little more complicated, but you know, it's also somewhat straightforward. The Mishnah on kuf ches amud aleph. The Mishnah tells us tipas chalav shenafla ala chaticha. You have a drop of milk falls on a chaticha. So now it's not kazayis basa is falling into a yorish of chalav, it's a tipas chalav that falls onto a chaticha of basa. So im yesh pabinosin tam ba'us a chaticha, asr. So if there's enough chalav to give tam into the basa, it's going to be asr. Nier as a kadeira, im yesh pabinosin tam ba'us a kadeira, asr. But if you stir the pot, then if it gives tam into the whole pot, it's going to be asr. So chalav falls onto a piece of basa, no problem, as long as you have shishim of the basar opposite the chalav. What part of the tarovas in the pot will count toward the shishim? So the Mishnah has these two separate scenarios. You have a drop of milk falls onto one piece of meat in the pot. So you evaluate the milk connected that single piece of meat. If that piece of meat is independent, but we're going to have to define what does it mean to be independent. So if that piece of meat is independent from the rest of the pot, you only have to look at that piece of meat. If there's shishim in the meat, it's fine, otherwise it's asr. But if it falls into a chaland, then it gets mixed into the whole pot, then the milk is connected the entire contents of the pot, and there's a better chance that you'll get shishim. But if you don't get shishim, it's a chumra, because now the entire pot's going to be asr, not just the one piece of meat that it fell on. Right? That's the Mishnah. So the major question that has to be raised is, what makes a piece of meat independent, and when do we assume a piece of meat is part of the stew that's together in the pot? And also, if let's say that meat becomes treif, does it have an impact on the rest of the pot? Meaning, let's say you view this meat as independent. It's sticking out from the rest of the pot. But there wasn't shishim in the meat connected that milk. So now that meat is treif. Now, what kind of impact does that have on everything else in the pot? Do we say nothing? If it's independent, it's independent, so it can't do anything to the rest of the pot? Or do we say, no, it can have quasi-independence? It could be independent enough that when I'm measuring shishim klapei the chalav, I look at only this piece of meat. But not so independent that I get to ignore its relationship with the rest of the items in the pot. Right? So that's also something that we have to address. Good. So those are the two basic issues. So in a case where you have that a piece of basar is, however we view it, we'll see Rashi and the Ri in a second, however we view it as, but it's distinct. The piece of basar is separate from the rest of the pot, and the piece of basar becomes asr because of the chalav, it didn't have shishum k'negav the chalav. And then that piece gets mixed in with the rest of the pot. So the Gemara tells us, chatikha nas nevela. Piece of, right, chatikha nas nevela by basar b'chalav is for sure d'arayis, right, meaning that's the din, chatikha nas nevela. Right, when it comes to Shari Surim, so we're going to see soon in this simin what the halacha is on a Darabana level at least. So the Chatik Nas Nevel is clear when it's Basar B'Chalav. So the question that you have to ask yourself with Chanan is when the milk gets into a piece of meat and it becomes Basar B'Chalav, do we say that even the Basar that's fallen in is also basar b'chalav and it becomes a chaticha of iser, and nafkamina is going to be how you measure shishim. Is it that the chalav is the problem, or that no, now it's chaticha nasavel, the whole thing is a chaticha nasavel, and you need shishim connected the whole thing. So lemaisa, we say chaticha nasavel, so you need shishim connected the entire piece of meat. So again, simple case, chalav falls onto a piece of meat. Let's assume it's outside the pot. Make it easy. So the independence is not in question. You have a piece of meat that chalav fell into, or that got mixed with cheese or whatever. That became basar b'chalav. Now it gets put into a chalent. So now you need shishim k'neged the entire chaticha. Another nafkamina for chaticha nas nevela, because you're saying that it's chaticha nas nevela, that would mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino ein abata, meaning if that piece of meat were mixed with 1,000 other pieces of meat, it would all be aser, because the meat itself is treif. It's not only the milk that's in the meat that caused the aser, but because you say chaticha nas nevela, the whole thing would be batel. So So that's the value of chaticha nas nevela. But how do you consider, when do we know that something is distinct versus not distinct? So Tosfos points out that Rashi's shita is that a piece of meat is considered separate from the rest of the pot, even if it's partially in the juice. It could be partially in the gravy, but as long as it's partially out of the gravy, then that's already distinct from the rest of the pot. It's only if it's completely submerged in the gravy do we consider it to be part of the tarovis of the pot. So if a drop of milk falls on the part of the meat that's not in the rotav, so that drop of milk is connected to the meat and not connected to the entire contents of the pot. When you're measuring shishim, you measure connected, that's shitas Rashi. It's not clear where Tosas got this in Rashi, but that's what they get from Rashi. So that's Shitas Rashi. The Ri says no. The Ri says no. Only a piece of meat that's entirely above the rotav is considered distinct. If it's even partially submerged in the rotav and milk falls on that piece of meat, then you need shishim keneged you can measure shishim by the entire pot. Good? So far so good? Now, the Mishnah tells us that a piece of meat is distinct from the rest of the pot, but it could then still be mixed near Hakadera, right? Then you need shishim connected the whole thing. So the Gemara says that there's another way that it could do. The Gemara says O kisui Hakadera, right? If you cover up the pot, that's also the same as giving it a good stir. And Rashi says that it causes the by covering it causes all the rotav to bubble all the way to the lip of the pot and to the zeya and everything else. And that therefore will combine it with everything. And that's Rashi and the Mi. So the Taz and Sifkat and Beis discusses who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rashi or do we paskin like the Ri? So the Ri says that the piece has to be entirely outside of the rotav to be independent. What would be such a case? How could it be entirely outside of the rotav? If it's in the pot, you have to say there's a big fat piece of meat in the rotav. And this piece of meat is resting on the top of that piece of meat. So this big fat piece of meat that's, you know, that has rotav that goes halfway up its height, and then on top of that piece of meat is another piece of meat. And the milk came on the top piece of meat. So that's the case where it's kulo chutz rotav, and in that case you can measure the shishim. So that's how the Ri would understand the metzius. Now Rashi holds, even if it's partially in the rotav, you need shishim in the piece itself. So the pashtus is l'chora that Rashi is a chumra, in the sense that even though it's partially in the rotav, I can't measure the whole pot against the milk. I have to only measure that chatich against the milk. So that's a chumra. But the Darkei Moshe points out that there's a kula in Rashi also. If it's miksasa barotav and the chaticha becomes aser, it's not going to aser the rest of them. Because if you assume that it's distinct, it's independent. So if it's independent, it's independent. So then it has nothing to do with the rest of them. So I could have, where it's pachos mishishim in that piece of meat, it's not going to be able to be mevatel the milk. So that piece of meat becomes a chaticha di yisura, but it's independent. Even though it's half sitting in rotav, it's going to be independent. That's how the Taz quotes the Darkei Moshe. So the Taz says, "V'lo niyula niyastaiti." He says, "That's crazy." Di afal pisha in barotav dilamata mesayeya levatel tipas chalav shenafla lufishena reticha magil l'shon mikol makom osa chaticha atzma neaseres chelak atachton michelak elyon. He says, I don't understand. If it's partially in the rotav, partially outside of the rotav, what, you're going to cut the chaticha in half and say that the part that's out of the rotav, that's also, and the part that's in the rotav is mutter? No, the whole chaticha is aser. And part of that chaticha is in the rotav. How does it not affect everything else that's in the rotav? Even the mix of chaticha and the rotav, a rotav maluch l'shar. So the Taz says that the Lashon Mechaber sounds like Rashi, and we should paskin that way, like Rashi, but not with the Darkei Moshe's addition. So the Kudas HaKesef says Lo Muchach Midi, and he brings a list of poskim that hold the Kula like the Riyah, not Lechumra like Rashi. So most poskim assume like the Riyah over here, because the Shach holds that way. So Tzvi Tzadik has a Kasha on the Taz. He says Kasha is that. Name him Iman of Shach. He says, I don't understand. How can you say that it's both independent and not independent? The Tzvi Tzadik asks. If you're going to say that you're going to only get to measure shishim with this chaticha itself, so then I should be able to ignore the rest. And if you're going to say that, no, you can't ignore the rest because it's partially in the rotav, so I shouldn't have to just measure shishim with this chaticha itself. I should be able to measure with everything. You got to have it one way or the other. So the answer is no, you don't. As far as we recognize the fact that as far as the blia in this chaticha, it's going to be much stronger because this chaticha is partially chutz the rotav. But once this chaticha becomes aser, the part that's half in the rotav is still going to make it still going to make a great impact on everything else. So the Tzvi Tzadik writes, "Rabim Gadol Kasev Shem Tchilo Holcha Ad Harotav." That originally, when the chalav goes in, it doesn't go into the rotav. Va'achar kach nesar shabrotav me'elyon. And then afterwards, in a second step, that which is in the rotav becomes aser from that which is outside. V'dochak ma'od. Da'ino mechanan b'chatzi chaticha. He says, "How could you say chanan and half a chaticha that's outside of the rotav?" Va'od ha'ina nesar oser k'shein oser holichim. Ovena rotav oser below a chalav. Okay, well that's a little more complicated with the Taz and Simcha Fei. Maybe tomorrow, let's come back and we'll go through the different ways of understanding Rashi. It's kedai to see that Darkei Moshe, very important Darkei Moshe, and we'll go through the different ways of understanding Rashi, the Shach and the Taz, and we'll get into some of those details, and hopefully we'll finish up Simcha Fei. Not tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday. On Wednesday, that's for sure.
Just wondering if what we were just saying, go back to the Chavos Da'as.